right, have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn together, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis in chapter 40. What Brother David didn't tell you is that that song we just sang was actually one of the songs that was sung by the Northern Army. I'm from down south. Our song was, "I Wish I Was in the Land of Cotton." But yeah, that is a great song. Thank you. Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 40, when we think about the life of Joseph, there are many different things that we could think about, many different adjectives that we could use to describe him. Many things come to mind, but for most people, you would not think of the word that you see on the screen. You would not think of the word seer. Exactly what is that? Exactly what does that mean? Well, the Bible itself defines the word for us. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 9, here's what it says. It says, "Now he that is now called a prophet was before time, called a seer." In other words, in the days before the prophets were actually called prophets, they were referred to with this word seer. Seer. And as we're going to see in our text today, Joseph was certainly a seer, or he was a prophet. And he was a good one too. He was a good one too. One commentator has well noted that as a prophet, Joseph was a faithful man with a faithful message in a faithful ministry. I like that. That's what Joseph was. Faithful man, a faithful message, a faithful ministry. So let's get right into this by noticing together, number one, as we look at it, I want us to notice the attitude revealed. The attitude that was revealed. You remember 3 weeks ago we talked about the importance of attitude. The importance of a right attitude. If you remember, we said that basically attitude, when you get right down to it, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. And Joseph excelled in every place where he was, simply because the attitude that he had. He had the attitude of a servant. He had an attitude of humility that was willing to serve. Remember, we saw when Jacob, his father, called him to serve, Joseph's response back in Genesis 37, verse number 13. His response was, "Here am I, willing, ready, able to serve. Whatever you want, I'll do it." That was the attitude that he had. Later on, when he was sold as a slave and was carried down into Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house, you remember we saw that same attitude was present. If anybody had a right to feel sorry for themselves, to have a pity party for themselves. By the way, I've told you this before. You ever notice when you have a pity party, nobody comes but you? Just something to think about. But if anybody had a right to have a pity party, it was Joseph. I mean, my goodness, he's in a mess, sold by his brothers into slavery, down in a foreign land, there in the house of Potiphar. And yet, we saw how that he served with excellence. Even in a difficult circumstance, he served with excellence. And then you remember we saw how that he was thrown into prison for a crime he was not guilty of. He's falsely accused. He's in prison there in the prison house. And yet he continued to exhibit a servant's attitude by serving even in prison in an exemplary way. But now we're going to see that same attitude again. Now we're going to see the same attitude again, and it's going to be revealed in two ways. Notice first of all, letter A here, the challenge that he faced. The challenge that he faced. Joseph has been down what some might call a rough stretch of road. He's been through some hard times, and yet he has faithfully served. He's faithfully served his father, faithfully served his master, and now he's going to faithfully serve two of Pharaoh's top men. He's going to serve two of Pharaoh's top men. The chief baker and the chief butler. He's going to serve these two men there in the prison house. Let's notice Genesis chapter 40, verse 4 and verse number 5. It says, the captain of the guard. Now, by the way, remember who the captain of the guard is. You remember? The captain of the guard here is actually Potiphar. The captain of the guard is Potiphar. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 tells us that. So this is actually his old boss, okay? And so the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. I wonder why his old boss chose Joseph to be in charge with the Pharaoh's top men. Don't you think it was because Potiphar already knew that Joseph was a faithful man? That his faithfulness had been demonstrated over and over again? And so Potiphar now, he places Joseph in charge. And notice what it says. It says, and he served them. There's that attitude of service again. He served them, and they continued a season in ward, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And so here these two men are in the prison. Joseph is in charge of them, and both of these men have a dream, and now it is Joseph's opportunity to step up and to be a servant to them. Now, of course, you understand that based on past experiences, past thought would naturally be, you know, I've always done my best. Boy, I have served faithfully everywhere I've been, and look what it has gotten me. I have worked hard, I've tried to be faithful, and what I always get kicked in the teeth every time I try to do right. I try to serve faithfully, and look what happens. I've just gone from bad to worse to even worser. That's not a word, don't say that, but you get to, I'm from down south, okay? But it's just gone from bad to worse. Every time I try to do right, I get kicked in the teeth for it. Be natural to think that way. I mean, you look at what Joseph has been through. Natural response. But Joseph had more character than to surrender to self-pity. He had more character than to just wallow in the mire of his own feeling sorry for himself. Rather, notice we find not only the challenge he faced, the compassion that he showed. Verse number 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning, looked upon them, and he didn't see his own difficulty. He saw the difficulty of somebody else. He saw that they were sad. He saw that they were sad. And so his great heart, because he has this servant attitude, always looking out for others, he has this servant attitude, and so therefore he's moved with compassion on them. Been easy to only think of himself, but instead of that, he's thinking about somebody else. The compassion that he showed. And so the Bible says in verse number 7 that he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? What is it that's bothering you? What is it that is troubling you? And notice the question is asked not because he's nosy and he wants to find out their business, okay? Don't be offended when somebody comes and says, hey, is everything okay? You know, you just don't look like you feel well, or you don't look like your old self. Is there something? It's not that they want to be nosy. It's that they care. And they want to pray with you. They want to pray for you. They want to be a help. And that's what Joseph did. He sees these men, sees their sad countenance. And so he comes to them and he asks them, what's going on? Why are you so sad today? What is it that has so troubled you? And so then I want you to notice a second thing that we find here, and that is, number 2, the confidence that was revealed. The confidence revealed. And as we consider the confidence revealed, there are a couple of things that we want to mention. First of all, we see the problem that is described. And in verse number 8, they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. We dreamed a dream and there is no interpreter. In other words, we've had this dream. It's an unusual dream. It's kind of a troubling dream, and yet there's no one who can tell us what it means. No one who can tell us what it means. So these men, while serving in the courts of Pharaoh, had oftentimes had contact with those who were esteemed as magicians. They had had contact with those who were referred to as wise men. In other words, men who were honored and men who were esteemed as the interpreters of dreams. But the problem was, these men are not in the Pharaoh's court. These men are now in prison. And so there's no one there who is able to interpret the dreams that they've had. And so they're in prison and they're perplexed. They've had these dreams that they do not understand, and there's no one around who can give them the counsel that they need. That's basically the problem they faced. Not only do we see the problem that was described, but we also see the truth that was declared. The truth that was declared. Joseph then said in verse number 8, Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." The interpretations belong to God. In other words, unlike the magicians and the wise men of Egypt, Joseph is not seeking to build a name for himself. He's not seeking to build a reputation for himself. Rather, he was simply seeking to give help and to minister to two men who were in a frightening situation of uncertainty. So therefore, Joseph wanted these men to know that he was simply a servant of the Lord God. He's a servant of the Lord God, and that it was God alone who had the real power. God alone who has the real ability to be able to accurately reveal to them the meaning of the dreams that they have had. And so with great confidence then, Joseph commanded them to tell him his dreams. To tell him his dreams. In fact, the idea here in our text where he says, "Tell me them." It's actually an imperative command. In other words, tell me right now is the idea. Tell me right now the dreams that you had. And it's here that we see Joseph's confidence in the Lord. It's here we see Joseph's confidence in the Lord. Because you remember, we saw before, weeks ago, Joseph had some dreams, didn't he? Remember, Joseph had some dreams about how that God was going to exalt him, how that God is going to make him to be a ruler, how that God is going to cause even his own family to come and bow down before him and pay homage to him. Has any of that happened? No. And yet, in spite of that, Joseph's confidence in God has never been shaken. Joseph is absolutely confident that what God had promised, God's going to do it. He hasn't done it yet. But what God has revealed to me is exactly what God is going to do. Now, humanly speaking, nothing good had come from his dreams, only trouble. Instead of being promoted, he's been imprisoned. And yet his confidence in God has not shaken. He still has a heart that is filled with absolute confidence in the promises that God has given as they were revealed to him, and that it would all be done in God's good time. In God's good time. And so it was with that absolute confidence that we find then number three, we find the revelations are revealed. The revelations are revealed. There are two revelations that we find in our text here. First of all, we find the butler's revelation. And a couple of things that we want to notice here. First of all, let's notice the dream that he dreamed. The dream that he dreamed. It's found in verse 9 down to verse number 11. The Bible says that the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded. And her blossoms shot forth. And the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. That's what he dreamed. That's what he saw in the dream that he had. And that's what's causing confusion, because he, for the life of him, he can't figure out what all of this means. Can't figure out what it means. And so Joseph now comes in. He says, tell me the dream. He hears the dream. Now Joseph is going to give the interpretation. Notice the interpretation. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Here's what it all means. What you've dreamed, this is the meaning of it. The three branches are 3 days. Three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. That was the interpretation. In other words, 3 days, you're going to be released from prison. You're going to be put back in your old position. Everything's going to continue on as it was before. And as soon as the Lord God had revealed to this man that he would be released, that he would be restored to his position, Joseph then made a request. Joseph made a request. Notice it in verse number 14. He said, but think on me. Think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Talking about the prison. In other words, when God has restored you to your former place, you are now in good graces with the Pharaoh again. Don't forget about the one who gave you the good interpretation while you were in the prison house. Speak to him on my behalf. I have been unjustly accused. I have been unjustly imprisoned. And so speak to the Pharaoh on my behalf. In other words, just as the Apostle Paul in the New Testament would appeal to Festus so that he might be sent to Caesar when he was brought up on unjust charges in Acts chapter 25, Joseph is appealing to the butler to speak on his behalf to the king. Then Joseph presented the basic facts of his case in verse 15 when he talks about how that he was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. He explains this case. And now the chief baker has been listening to all of this, right? Remember, there were two of them. So the baker is listening, and he heard the dream that the butler had, and he's heard the interpretation. Wow, 3 days, this guy's gonna be released, and so he's very excited, because the Bible says in verse number 16, he says, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good. You can almost see his face light up with anticipation, right? It's going to be good for me too. I have a feeling, you know. They sing a song in the States sometimes. Something good's about to happen, you know. You ever heard that song? Don't bother, it's not worth listening to. But anyway, something good's about to happen. That's kind of what the butler now is thinking. The baker. That's kind of what he's thinking. And so we find then, letter B, we find the baker's revelation. Notice first of all the dream that he had. The dream. Genesis chapter 40, verse 16, verse 17. And he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Remember, 3 branches? You're going to be restored to your place. Here we got another 3 baskets full of baked meats, right? He's expecting wonderful things. Didn't go so well. Notice the interpretation. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift up thine head, not in honor. He's going to lift your head off of your shoulders. That's basically what it means. He's going to separate your head from your shoulders, and then he's going to hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. I want you to notice, after we see the revelations revealed, I want you to notice the faithfulness that is revealed. The faithfulness that is revealed. Remember, we said that Joseph was a seer. In other words, he was a prophet. I want you to notice, first of all, the faithfulness of the prophet. The faithfulness of the prophet. In those two revelations, we should notice the faithfulness of Joseph as God's spokesman. In those two revelations that he gave, we ought to see the faithfulness of the prophet. One commentator has well noted that telling the butler his future was delightful. Telling the butler his future was delightful. But relating the bad news to the baker took dedication. It took courage. It took courage. We're living in a day like that which the Apostle Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, when he said this. He said, "The time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Time is going to come. Folks, it has come. Most people today cannot stomach sound doctrine. They want to hear something that is pleasing to the ear, something that makes them feel good about themselves, something that perhaps makes them feel spiritual or religious or whatever. But when it comes right down to the unmixed truth of God's Word, most people cannot stomach it. That's exactly what Paul foretold. He said there will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Of course, this is nothing new. It's not new in our day, because the same thing was true back in the Old Testament times. Same thing was true. The prophet Isaiah, he spoke of a people, and here's what he said. He said he spoke of people which say to the seers, Isaiah chapter 30 verse 10, they say to the seers, which is who? Prophets. Very good. You get an A for the day. They say to the prophets, they say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us. Notice it. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Things that are easy to swallow, that go down without making us to choke. Give us something smooth. Something pleasant. Something that is delightful. In other words, notice the last two words. Prophesy deceit. You know what that means? That simply means we would rather you lie to us and tell us what we want to hear instead of telling us the truth that we need to hear. That was the desire of the people of Israel. Same desire we see prevalent in many places today. And not only is the faithful messenger of God discouraged by people who do not want to hear the truth, they are discouraged by other messengers who have rejected the truth. In this day and age, there are many preachers who preach about the love of God. Everything is positive with them. I mean, you know, good God, good devil. I mean, it's all good. It's all good. Everything's positive. You want a good example of that? I started to say listen to Joel Osteen, but please don't. Just don't bother. Everything, though, it's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. And they love that. They like to focus on the positive, but they ignore the negative, like the judgment of God and the wrath of God and the eternal consequences of sin and wickedness. And all. They never talk about that. Never talk about that. That's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul instructed Timothy, he said, "I want you to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season." In other words, I want you to preach God's truth when it's popular, when it's easy to preach, when it's convenient to preach. And I want you to preach the truth out of season, when it's not popular, and when men don't appreciate it, and when men don't want to hear it. You be faithful. You preach the word in season, out of season. And here's how I want you to do it. I want you to do it by reproving and by rebuking and by exhorting them with all long suffering and doctrine. That's the faithful man of God. And that's exactly what Joseph was. That's exactly what Joseph was. Joseph was a faithful prophet who was willing to proclaim the truth regardless of how hurtful it might be to one, how hurtful it might be to one, and how precious it might be to the other. But he was faithful to tell the truth on both sides. He was faithful to tell the truth on both sides. So we see the faithfulness of the prophet. Not only do we see the faithfulness that is seen in the prophet, but also we see the faithfulness, notice the faithfulness, that of the Lord. That of the Lord. You remember back in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 8, the Bible says, Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Do not interpretations belong to God? And so when Joseph told the meanings of the dreams to the men that had dreamed him, it was according to the interpretation that God had shown to him. It wasn't his own ideas. Wasn't his own thoughts. Wasn't his own imagination. Rather, when these men shared with him, "This is what we dreamed," and he gave the interpretation to them concerning their dreams, it was the interpretation that God himself had revealed to Joseph. It was what God had revealed to him. And the faithfulness of the Lord God then is seen very clearly illustrated. That God is always going to do exactly what He says. Notice it in verses 20 down to verse number 22. "It came to pass the third day." That's exactly what God said, right? Both of them were focused on the third day. "And so it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants." Now notice it, verse 21. "And he restored the chief butler to his butlership again." That's exactly what Joseph said was going to happen. That's exactly what God had revealed to him was going to happen. But not only that, he also gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. The faithfulness of God. God always is going to do exactly what He says He's going to do. God's promises are as sure as the sunrise tomorrow morning. It's just as sure as the sunrise tomorrow morning. The promises of God are faithful. The promises of God are true. Now here's the point. Here's the point I want to leave with you this morning. As believers in Jesus Christ, every one of us are called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are called to be ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're to be ambassadors for our Savior. In other words, we are called, like Joseph, we are called to speak. We're called to speak to those who are in the prison house of sin. We're called to speak to those in a way that is faithful and true, and to declare to them that there is a way that leads to death, and there is a way that leads to life. That men in the prison house of sin, there is two options. There's a way of life, and there's a way of death. Both of them are there. And may God help each of us, like Joseph, to be faithful, regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, to be faithfully warning men of the dangers of rejecting Christ, the dangers of following after human traditions or human religions or whatever, understanding, as the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That we'll be the faithful ambassador, the faithful witness, who will point men to the truth of God's Word and plead with them that they might repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Regardless of our circumstances, may God help us to be faithful men and faithful women as we represent our Savior to a lost and a dying world. Joseph, faithful prophet, faithful seer, may God help us to be the same, to be faithful spokesmen for the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for